The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The news never stops. Life goes on around town and around the world. You need a talk show that keeps track of it. A program with bold opinions that's always open to your views. That is this show. Welcome to the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM. The Answer.
Welcome back to the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer. I'm Chad Easty, filling in once again for Mark Davis on this Good Friday. Mark will be back next week. Don't worry, he'll be back next week, and I'm sure he'll have quite a bit to talk about coming up on Monday. But we've got a lot to talk about today, and we want to hear from you. You can give us a call at 866-660-5759. You can also shoot us a text message on that Mark Davis text line at 866-660-5759. And like I said, we have just quite a bit to get into here on the program on this Friday. And joining us right now, the State Director for Americans for Prosperity, the State Director Genevieve Collins, joins us here on the Mark Davis Show. I'm Chad Easty. And Genevieve, welcome back. How are you today?
Thank you, my friend. Good morning and happy Good Friday.
Yeah, and to you as well. Thank you so much for taking some time to join us today and really get into just there's a lot we can get into when it comes to AFP and Texas and some of the politics out there. I know you were on Newsmax, what was it, yesterday, and talking about border security. This is something that continues to be obviously just a huge, huge problem for Texas and the United States.
Well, absolutely. This is Biden's border and something that he and his administration alone are the ones that are creating this massive problem. And, you know, I was on Newsmax talking about SB4, what the Senate passed last year, and now how it's being held up by the Fifth Court of Appeals. And really what I wanted to share is, like, Texas still has to deal with these problems regardless of what's happening in the court. Property rights are being trampled. People are afraid to live in their homes. Cartels are running openly on American soil. And we still have to deal with this regardless of what happens in the courts. We got to keep putting the pressure on this administration and keep working to solve this crisis.
You know, and again, we'll see what the courts say eventually. But I mean, you bring up a great point. No matter what, we still have to deal with this. And not only we as Texans, but we as Americans have to deal with this, and the administration should be dealing with it, no matter what the courts, you know, come back with. Which again, it's one thing where I'm surprised we're really even having a debate over whether a law can be enforced by law enforcement officers. It just seems like, okay, if you break the law enforcement officers should be able to enforce the law against you. I mean, to me, that makes common sense. Maybe it doesn't to everybody else out there. But we have to do more to protect our border.
Yeah, this administration is both incompetent and incapable of supporting Americans and doing their first responsibility, which is protecting its citizens and defending its citizens. Hello? These people are completely incompetent and incapable.
Yeah, absolutely. When it comes to Americans for Prosperity, obviously it's in the name. You're for prosperity. But how involved does AFP get in? I mean, obviously we've got a convention coming up in Texas. We've got campaigns going on still, runoff races in Texas. How involved does AFP get in some of the behind the scenes grassroots and just the Texas, you know, politics and campaigns that are out there?
So this is our bread and butter. And last year, we observed that a lot of state reps just weren't in favor of school choice and were barriers to passing school choice, which would make lives better for all Texas students. So I decided, well, we're going to go get involved in Republican primaries and make sure that we change the makeup of the Texas House. And we're going to go primary and challenge a bunch of obstinate state legislators. And we're still involved. We got involved in 17 state house races. On Super Tuesday, we were a part of 14 winning races. Two races went into runoffs. We had one loss. But now we're moving forward into runoffs and continuing to change the landscape of the state to more freedom, loving Texans, focused on prosperity and opportunity for all Texas citizens.
When it comes to the future of the RNC chair, there will be a new RNC chair. What do and this kind of this goes real deep into the weeds here, but Republican delegates and just those who will be choosing the new chair, what do they need to be on the lookout for?
Well, I was really blessed to be able to moderate an event on Monday night with the two women that are running for committee woman here in Texas. And for delegates, they need to think about who's going to be able to communicate concisely and persuasively to the grassroots communities to be able to accelerate on changing the landscape and getting Biden out of office. So one, focus on grassroots. Two, focus on and three, who's going to really uphold Texas policy and the belief systems we have at the national level? So I would say that those are the three things.
Yeah, we're visiting with Genevieve Collins, State Director for Americans for Prosperity. How else can people get involved when it comes to, the election? Obviously, we want people to vote. We want conservatives to get out and vote and get involved that way. But how else can people get more involved and champion some more of these policies that we need to see get passed, not only statewide, but nationally as well?
Well, Chad, I think first off, go to what's closest to you, your local communities. We're seeing that local city councils and county commissioners keep raising people's property taxes, even though the state is trying to reduce ours. So get involved in understanding how your tax dollars are being used against you at the local level. That'll inform how you can get involved at the state level. Candidates always need support, block walking, phone banking. We do a ton of that on our own at America for Prosperity. And so people are always able to join us. I like to say that we're the taxpayer champion and that we fight on all the taxpayer issues. So if you care about how your tax dollars are being used and you want them to be conservatively, come join us. But I mean, I think the huge thing is like turning off the news, talking to your neighbor and being normal and having conversations about the direction of the country. When we start talking just locally within our own communities, we empower those around us. And that is a waterfall cascading effect that I think everyone in the state could use.
Yeah, no, absolutely. In any of the going back real quick to some of these runoff campaigns, is AFP getting involved in any of the runoff campaigns out there, or is that going to be something that's announced a little bit later?
We are going to make our announcement in the next 10 days or less, but we're going to be very engaged in these runoff races. We want to pass school choice. We want to make sure that care is affordable and accessible to all Texans, and we want to continue to reduce property tax. There are Republican candidates, there are Republican incumbents that don't share that same belief system. So we're going to go work to get them to office and help their challengers get a new seat.
What is for school choice? And obviously that's been a big dividing point among some Republicans, and obviously it's been a big campaign point for the governor, for you guys as well at AFP. What is the what is the bill that you would like to see? What does it look like coming out of the next session? Because what we saw in this past session was a bill that I think the governor called it universal, but at the same time, it really only covered enough students that would fit into Arlington ISD. It did not cover every single student in Texas, which I think some parents were maybe confused on. They thought it right off the bat everyone was going to be covered by this, but that wasn't the case. What is kind of the ultimate bill that you guys would like to see in the next session?
Well, first off, we're working with the governor's office to help make sure our policies get built into this bill. Ideally, it's a standalone bill, not an education omnibus bill, which is what happened last November. And I think that this is important enough that it needs to be its own standalone bill. We want to have universal eligibility. So right now, we think that creating the guardrails that allow every student to be eligible down either now or down the future is important. That way you don't have to do it incrementally. But we do need to prioritize students that are trapped in failing public schools or in horrible neighborhoods or students with disabilities. We want to give those kids the option to choose the school of their choice first. But we want to make sure that all parents are going to be able to leverage and use school choice, so that way we don't have to build down the line. So eligibility for all kids is important, but prioritizing kids trapped in failing public schools is going to be the key, in our opinion.
Genevieve, before I let you go, I want you to comment just on one of the pushbacks that I hear from folks in about school choice, and usually that's when they start using the word vouchers. This is when they start using the word vouchers, and they say it's not conservative for taxpayer money to fund rich people's education or rich students' education, that's just another handout to rich kids. How do you react to that? Because I'm sure you've heard that too.
I have. And this is not about rich kids. This is about getting poor, minority, disabled students out of failing public schools. That is the intention. This is not built for rich kids. But by the way, the amount of waste that goes into our entire education ecosystem is laughable. And so this is not a handout for rich kids. This is ensuring that every child has a world-class education, regardless of the four walls with which they are within. Every child deserves a chance, and making sure that we prioritize those kids that are trapped in failing public school is imperative.
Very good. Genevieve Collins, tell folks where they can get more information about the work you and AFP continues to do.
Well, follow me on Twitter at GCollinsTX. And follow us on Twitter for at TexasAFP. And you can also reach us on our website, AmericansForProsperity.org.
All right. Very good. Genevieve Collins, great to hear from you once again. I'm sure we'll visit again soon. And we appreciate you joining us here on the Mark Davis Show.
Happy Easter. God bless you.
Happy Easter to you as well. That's Genevieve Collins, the state director, executive director of AFP. You're listening to the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer. All right, welcome back to the Mark Davis Show. I'm Chad Easty, filling in for Mark Davis on 660 AM, The Answer. We had a text come in just at the very end of that conversation with Genevieve Collins asking how you keep illegals from getting school vouchers. Well, there's a couple of ways that state lawmakers can go about it. One is you write it into the bill. You have it part of the bill that you have to be a U.S. citizen in order to qualify, or the child has to be a citizen in order to qualify for the school dollars. And again, this is going to be a debate point. This actually popped up in a few of these different House races out there, because Republicans, even though it's part of the Republican Party platform, to abolish in-state tuition for illegal immigrants. No Republican has put that forward. No one has tried to, at least in the last session, no one had tried to abolish it. And so that's going to be a point of contention, and it's going to be an issue that eventually gets larger, especially when they when lawmakers, if they get it passed, one, two, whenever they try to expand beyond just the limited number of students who would be allowed into this thing, you're going to have that pop up, and that's going to be a question. Now, again, I think lawmakers, and I've heard lawmakers talk about this, that they can write the bill in a way that would prevent illegal immigrants from getting money. Now, that doesn't mean there won't be lawsuits about it. It would probably be challenged in court. It would probably be challenged in Texas. And so just get ready for that, especially if Republicans don't remove the magnet there already of in-state tuition for illegal immigrants, and that you have to have proof of legal residency in order to enroll in public school. So that's going to be a debate point moving forward. It's going to be an issue that Republicans are going to have to take a look at in the upcoming legislative session, and that's if they get the numbers that they need to actually get school choice passed. It's right now, the governor says he's two votes away. There are some who say he's maybe a little bit further away than that. The fact is, until there's a bill, and until the House and the Senate have agreed, and nothing is done, and nothing is guaranteed. We have seen that so many times through the Texas legislature. Just because you think it'll pass, just because you have the numbers and it should pass, that doesn't mean a thing if the House and Senate can't agree on an actual piece of legislation. 866-660-5759. Chad HD filling in for Mark Davis here on 660 AM, The Answer. Welcome back to the Mark Davis Show, 660 AM, The Answer. I'm Chad HD filling in for Mark Davis. Hope you're having a wonderful Friday morning. You can send in your thoughts on the Mark Davis text line at 866-660-5759. That's 866-660-5759. Texter, SCOTUS ruled illegal alien kids have a right to public education and everything it has to offer. That would include school vouchers, scholarships, etc. Well, it would be interesting to see if it actually does include school choice. And I think that's something that I could see the state of Texas really push on and say you can have public education. You can have the school system. You can have the public ed system. But when it comes to taxpayer money following the child, I think that's going to be something that you're going to see pushback on from Republicans, and you can see it written into a bill. That's why I say I think this, if it gets written into a piece of legislation, it would be going to the courts eventually, and I think you'd see a battle line up on that and see how the Supreme Court, this Supreme Court, may run with it and see how they actually rule on something like that and says, hey, you want public education, that's fine, but when it comes to school choice, not so much. And by the way, remember, even if we have school choice, even if the legislation passes, and there's going to be a lot of work that's going to have to get done in order for it to pass, you could still have private schools who say no. You could still have private schools who say no to school choice, that they don't want to be involved in it. You're going to have some some parents in who homeschool. They're not going to be want to be wrapped up into it, because wherever taxpayer money goes, and this is something everyone has to remember, and there are very few lawmakers who talk about it. Texas State Senator Charles Perry has talked about it often. Wherever taxpayer money goes, eventually eventually there's going to be strings attached. You may not think there's going to be strings attached immediately, but wherever taxpayer money goes, eventually strings will be attached. And you're going to have some private schools who say, huh, no, I don't think so. I don't want any strings attached. I don't want the state right now or in 10 years or in 20 years. I don't want the state getting involved in our private school. And you're going to have homeschool parents who say, no, I don't think so. I don't want you involved. I don't want you involved any more than you are right now. I don't want you involved in our child's education. So that's why I say this isn't going to be something that just easy that lawmakers can pass, because there are many, many moving parts to it, even coming up in the next legislative session. How about this national story that just came out? The Biden administration has finalized their long-awaited regulations targeting emissions generated by heavy-duty vehicles. That includes trucks and buses. This is the latest in the climate change fight from the administration. The EPA announcing new regulations today. Officials say they represent the strongest ever greenhouse gas emission standards of their kind. The new rules would kick in beginning in 2026 for model year 2027. Vehicles progressively becoming more stringent through the model year 2032, forcing a larger number of trucks and buses to be zero emission in that time frame. So everything's about to get more expensive when it comes to big trucks and buses. And for no reason at all, by the way. For no reason at all. We have to do it because of the climate change threat. The climate change craziness that's out there. Somebody's going to be making some good money off of this. I guess that's good for them, but it's not going to be good for the rest of us. So the Bidenomics out there make things more expensive. Quote, finalizing these emission standards for heavy-duty vehicles like trucks and buses is significantly cutting pollution from the hardest-working vehicles on the road, said the EPA administrator. Building on our recently finalized rule for light and medium-duty vehicles, the EPA's strong and durable vehicle standards respond to the urgency of the climate crisis by making deep cuts in emissions from the transportation sector. Overall, EPA said the aggressive standards will avoid 1 billion tons of greenhouse gas emissions and provide $13 billion in annualized net societal benefits. Sure. The agency claims that the regulations will set the heavy-duty vehicle industry on a trajectory for sustained growth. The new regulations apply to short-haul and long-haul tractor trailer trucks in addition to vocational trucks like delivery vehicles, garbage trucks, school and public transit buses. So you're going to see widespread changes in all these heavy-duty vehicles. Less than 1% of new truck sales in the U.S. are zero-emission vehicles, according to Truck and Engine Manufacturers Association, which represents the world's leading manufacturers of heavy-duty vehicles. And they want to change that completely by 2032. Between 2026 and 2032, they want to change that completely, and that every heavy-duty vehicle that is produced will be zero emissions. And again, for absolutely no reason whatsoever. It's not needed. But it's the climate hysteria that we have out there, the climate faith, the green climate faith that is out there. And, of course, the Sierra Club has weighed in. All these liberal groups have weighed in. And this is just going to cost companies more and more money. It's going to cost school districts more money. It's going to cost cities more money. Is they're going to have to replace buses with more expensive buses, zero-emission buses. And this is just it's just the latest in the hysteria that is climate change. And that news breaking just a little bit ago. Speaking of climate change, I've got another story. Let's see if I can pull it up real quickly. It's from the Texas Tribune. Now, this is history. When I saw the headline here, I knew exactly where the Texas Tribune was going. The headline for the Tribune: in Texas, natural disasters increase domestic violence risk. You know where they're going, right? Climate change is responsible for domestic abuse now. When a deadly winter storm struck in February 2021, tens of thousands of Texans were stuck inside with no power and often no water. One woman who they quote in the story, Michelle Abnador, was trapped with her abusive boyfriend. I guess climate change made him even more abusive. She tried to leave on the first day of the five-day storm when he blamed her for the time he spent in jail after he was convicted of assaulting her back in 2020. But he convinced her to stay, arguing the snow and ice storm was even worse in her parents' home north of Houston than in his downtown house. He quickly became abusive, and he pushed her, slapping her face, holding her down, pulling her hair, trying to disguise his threats as jokes. The National Academies of Sciences, Engineering, and Medicine reported in January that natural disasters worsen the frequency and severity of intimate partner violence, as they call it now, and make access to care and support even more critical. Storms, floods, wildfires, and other natural disasters make it difficult for victims to access help, leaving them even more vulnerable to abuse. And then we get into climate change. Meanwhile, disasters like these are becoming more frequent and extreme as climate change worsens. A study published in the Journal of Atmospheric Environmental Projects says that wildfires alone will grow by 170%. And that, I guess, means we're going to have more domestic violence. So we're now linking climate change to domestic violence. Everything is climate change. Everything bad in society, it's all climate change. Which, at some point, we're going to have shutdowns because of climate change. And I guarantee it, you're going to have cities shut down because of climate change. Just like we saw with COVID, we're going to see it again. At some point, it's going to be a climate change emergency, and we've got to shut down. We've got to shut down for the safety of everybody. For the safety of society, for the safety of women and men who are now women and women who are now men, we've got to shut it down because of climate change, because it's just much too risky to have a natural disaster these days. They say that floods, hurricanes, and other storms are projected to increase 25 to 50%. No joke. I saw the other day one of the early hurricane projections, which they were all off last year, but the early hurricane projection is explosive growth for Texas this hurricane season. Of course, they say that every year. Every year, it's going to be the worst hurricane season we've ever seen. Every single year, they say that. We can't even predict the cloud coverage that may or may not happen during the eclipse that's coming up. We can't predict that. But let me tell you something. It's going to be a bad hurricane season. That we know. It's going to be terrible. It's going to be the worst hurricane season we've ever seen. Now, we can't tell you what the weather's going to be like here in a couple of days, but the hurricane season, it's going to be terrible. And now, because of climate change and because of domestic abuse and climate change, domestic abuse, it's all linked. And violence happens because of climate change. And that's why we have so many migrants. You see how it's all connected for the left? All the poor migrants who are coming up and crossing illegally into the United States, it's because of climate change. That's what they say. Climate change in their third world country, that's why they have to come here. Because, well, apparently we have climate change here, but it's just not as bad. None of it makes any sense. None of it makes any sense whatsoever. It's not supposed to. And if you try to make any sense of it whatsoever, you're either trying to make money off of it or your head's going to explode. 866-660-5759. Chad HD filling in for Mark Davis here on 660 AM, The Answer. Welcome back. Mark Davis Show, 660 AM, The Answer. I'm Chad HD filling in for the great Mark Davis. And text that came in at 866-660-5759 on school vouchers, simple solution, implement a successful program that is currently used in another state. And yeah, I mean, you tailor it towards Texas, you tailor it to what you want to do, but there are several. I think we're up to 29 states now. 28, 29 states that have some type of school choice program. It may not be universal, it may not be open for everybody, but the number of states continues to grow. I mean, this is not, for some people, they treat this as though it's some strange alien idea that's going to collapse school districts and collapse schools around the state. We've seen in other states is that isn't true. They've got the public education system, they've got school choice, and the two can work together. They can at least cause a little bit of competition. I'm someone who believes competition is good, and that competition can make schools better, can make teachers better, can make students better. And I think overall it's a good thing that we have it. Now, again, I understand where there are some rural area lawmakers, rural area folks who are worried about school choice, because in some of these very small school districts, the school is, that's the town, man. That is, it's the number one employer. It's where all the kids go. The teachers know all the kids. They're worried about losing funding. And in some rural areas, many rural areas, funding is a big issue. Now, in education overall, funding has become a big issue. But in rural Texas, in rural America, people get worried because they have seen in the past, rural Texans have seen in the past, when the state is going to take away money, they're going after the places that don't have as much political power, and that would be the rural areas of the state. They see that. They've seen it before many, many times. And that's why they get worried about school choice. They worry that it's going to close down their schools. They're not going to be able to afford schools. You see so many of these school districts around the state that are going to four-day school weeks because they can't afford to pay teachers, or they can't afford to do different things. And so they're going to four-day work weeks in some of these schools. A lot of rural school districts are having to do that in order to attract teachers, in order to compete with higher wages that you see in places like DFW and elsewhere. But I also grew up in the Metroplex, so I see it from that angle, where at least when I was going to school, you were locked in. Now, some districts have drifted away from that and have allowed students to more freely transfer to other places. But when I was going to school in the Metroplex, you were locked into a school where you lived. You were locked into that junior high and that high school. Unless your parents got a divorce, and then you could go somewhere else. But otherwise, you were locked in unless you moved. And so I've seen both sides of it, and that's why I'm okay with school choice, because I do think that there are some kids who are locked into failing schools, and those parents who want their kids to succeed should be able to get their kids in a good school, in a good situation, to help their kids succeed when it comes to education. Now, when we come back in the next hour, we're going to have Congressman Tony Gonzalez joining us. Looking forward to that conversation. We've also got some Trump news to talk about, your phone calls, your text messages. You're listening to The Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.